Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Bikini and the Brain podcast. My name is Ashley Kaltwasser. That guy over there, his name is Adam Bonilla from TeamElitePhysique.com. And we have a very special guest today in between us. Her name is Sam Catlin, and she's one of the Team Elite Physique coaches. And as of a few months ago, we've actually been training together. So she's my training partner slash trainer. But yeah, she's pretty awesome. So you guys get to get a little sneak peek into her life in this podcast episode. Yes. So welcome.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's a lot of interesting things about Sam and overcoming adversity. And I think that it's a helpful story for everyone too. And like how she's grown and gotten here too. And I've mentioned her a few times in the past, but Sam has really helped out a lot with the prep for the Olympia too. Her and Ashley worked out together about, you know, 4 or 5 times a week sometimes. Mm-hmm. She's getting in extra credit workouts with her and sometimes training her. And so it's just kind of shows, it's cool to see like behind the scenes of what goes on with, you know, Ashley's preps too, but also like within the team too. And she's one of the captains on the team. So we have, obviously I'm the head coach, and we have like captains and they help coach the other coaches too. So it's kind of been here. Well, how long has it been now, Sam? 5 years?
Yeah, actually it popped up in my like Facebook memories last week that it was my 5-year anniversary with you.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So anyway, so it's been a long road. Mm-hmm. So, actually it was kind of a funny story because we talk about like that nothing will ever be handed to you. And like, we're kind of like big on that, like work hard and you'll get it. Like that's kind of, you always hear our podcast. It's like work hard and you'll get it. Like just keep working for it. And nothing is not within grasp of you achieving. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I definitely think that I've mentioned you about that before too, because before I even had those positions available and like the training positions available, like Sam every day for like, I don't know, what, a year and a half?
Something? Probably 2 years.
Oh, like 2 years. Like every day for like 2 years was like, is there anything I can do for you? Can I help you with the check-ins? This is that. It took, and I started feeling bad. I was like, God, I gotta get this. But it was one of those stories where like, I've heard those stories before where I've heard it from like record people, like that were in the record business. And I've heard it from other like sales people too, like in sales jobs. And they have this story of this like, ambitious kid who shows up to the office every day and like is constantly there trying to apply for it or get the record producers to like hear his song, right? And then they finally are like, okay, kid, let me hear your song. What's what he got? And then like the next thing you know, he's like a superstar. And like, I should have listened to that kid's song a long time ago. Like it's one of those stories that is just cool because everyone else, like they're not everyone else, but a lot of people just expect things, you know? They're like, you know, they're like, I've done a prep. You should just like, you should hire me. Like I've done a 16-week prep and I won my local show. Like I'm deserving of everything, you know. But like you had you who's already competing and had the degree and were like still just humbly asking every day. I thought it was so cool. And now you're, you know, a captain on the team. So it's like it's pretty cool to hear like that story. You know, I don't think people realize what it takes. You know, and it does take like eating it a little bit. You know, mm-hmm. like. We always say, you know what, when you start any new thing, you're always at the bottom and you got to work your way up. And like people just want to come in like, you know, it's like, it takes
like
time.
The world owes them something, right? Yeah. Yeah, that's not how it works in the real world. But, you know, something about Samantha is honestly, she is one of the hardest working people I know. And it's inspiring for me to like be around that energy, you know. And I've noticed one thing about Samantha too is like I've never heard her complain. Ever. Like, you know what I mean? So obviously she's loving what she does, but she has quite the backstory. And if you don't mind opening up a little bit today about how you got started with fitness in the beginning.
Okay. Like how far back?
Oh, we're talking about like what inspired you to even start, I guess, prepping for anything. Because she'll get to this later, but she actually used to be a bikini competitor. Now she's a nationally qualified women's physique competitor. Mm-hmm. So that's quite the jump. So how about going into your first bikini prep? What inspired you to do that?
And you know what? Before you go there, I'm just going to tell them your start. Can you just tell them your starting stats before you went into that?
Oh, yeah.
She's a big transformation.
So before I got into fitness or anything, I had like a rough spot in my 20s. We'll just call it that. And I lost almost 100 pounds before the first time I decided to do a bikini prep. So I started at like 207 pounds was my heaviest, and then dropped down to 125 before I decided to prep for the first time. And my first bikini prep, I got down to 108. I was teeny tiny, yeah.
That's so crazy, because Ashley's like 124 on stage. That's crazy.
With like really skinny Sam.
You're 16 pounds smaller than Ashley when she's on stage.
Yeah. This is all like 6 years ago.
That's crazy.
And yeah, and then, you know, the first year that I was competing, I was so new to it, and it was just like a couple of guys at my local gym were like, hey, you look great, you should get on stage. And I prepped for a show, and I did it really poorly, really trashed my metabolism, and that's when I met you. It was at the Kipling gym, the Kipling 24-Hour Fitness in Colorado, and Adam helped me get my metabolism back on track. We actually took like a whole year off before I got on stage again, and then compete in a couple like natural federations. I did Muscle Mania and NSL before I went back to MPC, and when I went back to MPC, compete in figure. Mm. At that point, I think was when I had just started training for you when we were working at an Armbrust in Wheat Ridge. And you saw me lifting one day and joked that if I kept lifting that heavy, I'd move up to women's physique. And I said, well, if I do, will you still coach me?
You want to hear a funny story, too? This is actually a funny story that people... you might not even know this, Ashley, but there was... So she was going to do figure at the Denver Open in, like, what was it,
2018.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then about a week before the show... I was like, she was looking pretty crazy. And I was like, you know what? You want to do women's physique? Like, just do it just for fun? She's like, I don't know how to pose. And I'm like, well, I have this girl named Brittany, who is like my old client. She's like a good friend. What's her Instagram, Brittany? She's awesome.
She's Coach Muscle Nugget.
She was like one of my first like out-of-state online transformation. Yeah. She's like this little Texas girl. And now she's a pro women's bodybuilder. Like, she's so jacked.
She's awesome.
She's so fun. Awesome chick. Hopefully she sees this. But I love that girl. She was one of my first out-of-state, like, online clients, like, I don't know, 10 years ago. I remember it was like, I was like, oh, that's cool. This girl's from Texas. I just remember it because it was like, back then, it was like not common to have someone out-of-state. And so I was like, she'll help you out. So, like, you did what, two posing, online posing?
I did, yeah, two posing sessions with Brittany 3 days before, 3 days before the Denver Open. And I competed that show, like, entered, that's when Colorado had introduced the Athlete of the Year thing. So my goal was to do a bunch of shows that year in figure. And I jumped into women's physique the week before, or decided to do it the week before. And I came in at that show, I came in fifth place in figure, and I won the women's physique overall. Oh.
Yeah.
That was actually the first of six overalls I won that year in women's physique.
Yeah. What's funny is I was like, she's pretty big for figure, but not like crazy big for figure, but we should just give women's physique just a shot, just in case.
Shot.
And then I like, and Rick, who was there at the show, he was the head judge there. Like I get a little riled up when I feel like someone should place higher. Like we have a good relationship. We have a good relationship. He actually passed away, so rest in peace to Rick. Mm. But it was funny because we always have this like banter. He's like, "Oh gosh, Adam, what are you gonna say now?" And Sam's super close to me, so I was like, you know, riled up. I was like, Rick, like he's like, "Are you gonna talk to me about Sam?" I was like, "Yeah, fifth place in figure and women." He's like, Adam, don't even talk to me about it. I gave her the overall. He's like, she's women's physique. Don't put her in figure anymore. I was like, all right. I won't argue with you this time. It was pretty funny.
Well, the year prior to that, 2017, I did have a couple like rough placings in figure.
Yeah, you're just getting a little bit too jacked for it. Yeah.
Well, that's crazy. So we went from bikini, took a year off, and built that muscle for figure and then women's physique. So whenever you were training for bikini and you were getting lean enough for your competition, did you kind of notice like, hey, I'm kind of putting on muscle kind of easy? Or what, I guess, inspired you to go even just from bikini to figure? Was it like, I'm holding way too much muscle? Or just you just wanted the challenge of putting on muscle for figure?
That was actually Adam's call. When I did a couple of bikini shows, I think it's just my bone structure more than anything else. Mm-hmm. I do put on muscle really easy, especially in my upper body. Mm-hmm. In like high school, college, I was a swimmer and lacrosse player. So I build muscle easy in those areas. But after a couple of bikini shows, Adam's like, you're not made for bikini. Which is, it's true.
Yeah, it's a blessing, right? Yeah. I think like a lot of times people they think in their head that they want to do a certain division, but in reality, another one might be more fitting for them,
for sure.
Even based off of bone structure alone. And I always like to make that comparison too, like even the structure of the width of your shoulders and how thick your bones are and stuff like that. Some people are just really fighting genetics to get small enough for bikini and petite enough for bikini. Whereas if they just kind of bumped up, it might be a little more fitting for their body type, you know?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything that you miss about bikini in particular?
Bikini 6 years ago was a lot different than it is now. And, it was a much smaller division.
Yeah.
6 years ago, it's definitely grown. Muscularity has grown, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
They're much more, bikini's such a more balanced physique now than it was then.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't miss bikini what it was 6 years ago.
Okay. Well, I have to know because we always get these types of questions. Like when you talk about you kind of like ruined your metabolism a little bit, how did you guys like overcome it or help repair it?
So overcoming it, I think was more challenging for me because I had dieted so low for so long.
Right.
Like when I'm talking about like sub 900 calories in 2 hours of cardio for like 8+ weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So getting back into it, I think it took us probably 3 months before I was like maintaining eating 1500 calories a day and doing less than 45 minutes of cardio. And I thought that was great. And then we actually, during that time, continue to just gradually add back in more food, and going into that next season, that's when my calories ended up getting crazy high.
Yeah, it was really weird. It was I remember that because it kept going. And so this is, I think, is an important lesson for everyone to learn too, is that sometimes you'll see me and I'll post like people's calories. Now understand that is, I work with a lot of people, like on the team, there's a lot of people, or I wouldn't say a lot, but a good amount. And you are going to have these one-offs, and it'll be like, this girl who's 130 pounds is eating 4,500 calories and losing body fat. Like, it happens. Like, but the thing is, unless you give them, and that's what I always say, is we always take your preconceived notions that this person should eat this many calories because most people eat this many calories. If you throw that off the table and you just look at, okay, how does this person respond? Let's give them the chance to see if they're one of those miracle people, which there's a good amount of them out there. Let's just listen to what the body's going to do. And on your weekly check-in, just keep adjusting without ever saying to yourself, well, this is too many calories for her because she was only eating 900 before. You might end up somewhere where you never thought you'd end up. And that's what happened with her. I mean, the highest calories, if I remember, was it 5,000 and some change?
Yeah.
It was crazy. It was one of those crazy. I mean, it's like, at that point, you don't even want to eat that much, you know?
It's like a full-time job to eat.
Yeah. It's an expensive grocery bill.
It takes a second income.
Yeah.
Her cardio got, I don't know, what was the lowest, that was so long ago, what was the lowest cardio?
I was doing like 15 minutes 3 times a week.
Yeah.
There was one point we even cut it out.
Yeah, it's crazy. And that obviously, so that's the thing, is when she was eating, 800 calories, doing 2 hours of cardio, like prior to when I met her, it made sense that she would stay in bikini because she never had the opportunity to fill out her frame to see what she was capable of, never had the opportunity to see what her metabolism was capable of. Obviously with that came more calories, came more muscle, came more energy in the gym, came harder lifts. They all work together. And so just something for you out there who are listening, like maybe you're that type of person too, but you're not giving yourself the chance. Like you're just always dieting down, you know? There are some people that have to do that for their division, always have to diet down. You could look at at Frida, you know, Frida was a perfect example of that. She had to diet all the time and do cardio all the time just to fit bikini, but then she was fighting her genetics, and now she's in wellness. And she put on a ton of muscle in like 3 months' time because she just started eating and lifting again. And everyone's like, dude, what is she doing? How is she put on so much muscle? And I'm like, dude, she's eating. She's not doing cardio all the time. And that's literally it. Like, that's what she just, it was just waiting for her to eat, you know? So mm-hmm. with you, it looks like the same type of thing happened.
Same kind of thing, yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's scary, especially, and like, I can relate to that because I have some clients that I take on a lot of lifestyle and transformation, and it's scary to eat that much food, especially after you've lost so much weight. It's like, there's definitely a mental block there.
Yeah. Cause you just think you're going to gain weight.
And yeah.
The problem with eating a lot too, is you feel heavier. Like you have it in your stomach all the mm-hmm. time, and you just feel full, and that fullness kind of messes with your head as like fat, you know, it's just like volume. And so I understand that too. Cause I went through that when I was bodybuilding. So mm-hmm. anyway.
So I think it's pretty cool to see like Sam in all of her different stages of life. It's almost like it's a different person, right? We got the overweight version. We get the skinny bikini girl figure. We got the women's physique. And then, you know, currently you are going to be training for next year's competition, right?
Hopefully,
you're looking for 2022 to step back on stage. But so I have to know, whenever you were in that stage of life, when you were 200 plus calories, what kind of triggered that? Or is that something that you've always dealt with your whole life? Were you always overweight as a child? Or did you just kind of give up in some point of your life and just let yourself go? Or what is like the story behind how you became overweight to begin with?
Okay. There's a couple. I mean, part of it, I think, is genetics. Half of my family is a little bit heavier mm-hmm. and always were. So I think that plays something into it. But I was, like, never incredibly overweight until after college. I was bartending full-time. Definitely made some bad life decisions when that's all I was doing. Mm-hmm. But there were, like, There were a couple of things that led to like a pretty dark place, mm-hmm. I guess, where I stopped caring about myself, and I definitely was eating garbage and drinking too much and mm-hmm. like had some substance abuse issues. Mm-hmm. And it took me getting to like a real, real low to wake up and be like, wow, I got to get it together.
Yeah.
Yeah. For, you know, for myself, for my daughter, for my family, like,
wow, it's crazy that it's like it's total 180, right? It's almost like that life that you used to live is so foreign to you now because you're the exact opposite, right?
It's crazy,
right?
It's crazy,
like, because I would not ever think that you would ever be like in that realm, right? Because I know you from training with you that you're so on it with your diet, you're so like routine about your cardio, you don't miss, you give it your all. So it's so crazy to think that's who you used to be. It is insane.
Yeah.
Wow. I think there's like, you have to be successful in that. I mean, and sometimes it takes like, you have to be really low to find that mental toughness and find that like, that desire to be better and keep improving.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes you do have to get to that point just to make that turnaround. I mean, even for me, like, you know, I took a year off and I gained 25 pounds, which is like in the grand scheme of things, it's not like a whole massive amount. But even then, it kind of took me to see me at my worst to be like, oh no, this is never going to happen again. Because mm-hmm. I realized how much effort it took to get back from that 25 pounds. So I can only imagine, like, you know, that's kind of like always in the back of your head too, is like, I don't ever want to go back to that place. So I keep on it as much as possible because I feel a lot better now than I did. And I'm sure you're a lot happier now too, and in a better place mentally.
We've talked about that, just like being that overweight, it's everything is harder.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is difficult. Like just more physically challenging. Like it takes effort and energy to get up a flight of stairs. It's just not comfortable to carry around that much extra weight that your body's like, you're not supposed to have.
Yeah, exactly. Like mm-hmm. even, you know, even when I was like that 145, you know, not saying that's like a lot of weight for the average person. But even then, I didn't feel as comfortable. I felt like my thighs rubbed a little bit. You know what I mean? I didn't feel as stealth. I didn't feel as efficient. I felt slower and groggier. And just like, you know, now I just feel like, wow, I'm just really efficient with my movements and stuff like that. I know it sounds crazy, but and,
it's,
you know,
true though.
I mean, everyone kind of feels more comfortable at a different weight anyway. And, you know, some people out there are 145 and 5'5" and they feel comfortable in that. That's fine, whatever. But for me, I prefer being lean and kind of being more like on the, like, whoa, she must work out kind of scale. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I like how you always use that term, like stealthy.
It's funny. Yeah,
stealth. She describes like that her movement, like her 145 impeded her wind movement. Like
there was no wind. Have your thighs ever rubbed? Have your thighs ever rubbed, Adam? I have.
Like, I was a bodybuilder. They rubbed.
It makes pants way more expensive.
You know, because the way my knees are set up, okay, they kind of, if I'm standing straight, they face each other, so my thighs would touch. But I like feeling like I'm floating on air.
So funny.
Like right now, I feel lean. I feel like I'm floating on air. Like I'm just gliding. You know, I'm just gliding
now
to my car.
She's like a Lamborghini aerodynamic.
Yes.
She was like a Mack truck.
Yes. Just gliding, man.
This air, man, it's hard to get through, man. It's thick in these air. This carbon.
Rough up here.
Gosh.
That's so funny. You always, it is like a real thing because you always say it too, so I know you really feel it.
I do feel that way. Even, I can even feel a difference even like in the like off season versus now. I feel way more efficient when I walk to the door. I just feel like, yeah.
Maybe that's why we're actually really slower when we're bigger. It's just wind resistance. It's not actual performance.
That's gotta be it. Yeah.
Gosh.
That's gonna be hard, pretty hard theory to disprove.
Oh,
so.
My goodness gracious.
anyway, along your journey, mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's important too to like talk about the struggles of you like increasing calories. I think that that's something that people will take from this episode probably the most is like, mm-hmm. hey, I'm out there eating 800 calories for a show and doing 2 hours of cardio for a show, and like as a whole, we've probably had maybe one or I really can't even say any preps that we've had like that in the last, I mean.
Like
I
you and me together?
No, like someone who did 800 calorie preps, 2 hours of cardio. Like if
we've never done that.
I've never had anyone like that. I don't think that's not really a thing that we have to travel to. And I feel like the reason is the process of how we get there versus like just crashing someone there mm-hmm. and then having to go there, you know, because there's nowhere left to go. But I think that the other side of it that we talk about is, okay, when you're getting your calories up and it becomes uncomfortable, like what were some of the barriers that you had to cross through before you're like, okay, this is, because I do know that a lot of people have that. This is too much. It's just too much. And then they freak out and they start dieting.
You know? I think in what I've experienced with preps with you, when you're doing my nutrition, and it's pretty gradual increases when we're adding that much food to a certain point or like getting started. And that's usually how I work my athletes in reverse after a show or something is it's not, you know, we're not going from 1400 calories a day to 3000 calories a day. It takes time. So I think that reintroducing little bits of food and understanding the science that comes along with it and that, you know, as much as we all want to be show lean all the time, it's not sustainable. So carrying a little bit of extra body fat, but we pay super close attention to measurements for that reason and make sure that we're not, you know, gaining an unnecessary amount in the waist, like staying within a certain percentage of where you're at on show day, obviously. But to get past that, oh man, I don't know how to describe it because it is challenging, especially the first couple of times to be like, I can't eat this much food. Like I'm going to get fat if I eat this much food again. So it's really trust more than anything, having to trust you. And like, I was lucky enough that we were able to work together and that you helped me through that because it's challenging. And now I'm grateful that I get to be that person for other people.
Yeah.
But it's definitely a trust thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty cool. We get to do for a job. It's funny. I always say, I'm like, did I do this job for free?
I mean, if I didn't have a mortgage, I tell people that all the time. Yeah, if I didn't have a mortgage, if I could pay my mortgage with love for what I do, I'd coach everyone for free all the time.
Yeah, that's funny. One of the I was talking to this guy. I was playing poker at the last show. I was like, we had like 2 hours downtime. I was telling him, so he's like, "What do you do?" And I was like, I explained it to him, and he was like, "Man, that's kind of weird." Like, it's funny. I'm still trying to explain what I do to my mom. She still doesn't get it, you know. She's like, but how do you train them online?
Yeah, my dad doesn't get it either.
I was like, no, Bob, it's like nutrition coaching, and you like create their workouts. But I know, but how do you train them online? I'm like, Bob, I don't know. I don't know how else to explain this. So it's pretty funny. It's pretty cool we get to do now.
For sure.
So Sam went all the way up to Women's Physique. She did, a couple national shows, the Olympia, or one national show and the Olympia Amateur. Was that what, or was it two?
Then, three total, yeah. Three total national shows. My first one was USA's in 2018.
And you missed by one point.
Yeah.
One slot. Mm-hmm. Okay, sorry, can we cut you off?
No, you're good.
It just still bothers me.
It's like, that's happened so many times now. But that's, you know, also why I'm taking some time off before I get back on stage again. But, three national shows, placed top five in all of them, so I was first call outs in one place shy of my pro card twice.
Yeah. You know what sucks about that one? There was one that was really heartbreaking because the one in Colombia.
That was the Olympia Amateur in Colombia.
That one sucks.
That was a bad beat.
The girl who won was deserving to win. We're not saying
absolutely.
That. But she wasn't in her class. That's what's like. They did the initial round of judging. The girl wasn't in her class.
Yeah.
Then they
had me in the middle to win the class.
For the pro card.
Yeah. They pulled us off stage, like, because it was in South America. So we did, like, pre-judging and finals back-to-back. So we went back off stage after each class. And then they made my class come back out again. I was like, what is going on? And they pulled someone from one of the other classes and put her in my class because she had been heighted wrong. And she's the one that ended up beating me.
Yeah, she won the overall, too.
Yeah.
That's brutal, man. That was brutal.
That was tough.
I was like, wait, what happened? So the initial round of judging, she won. They rejudged it a few minutes later. And the girl that they put back in the class, moved to the class even after she was already judged in the other class, right?
Yeah, she was. Yeah.
She was already judged
in the class. They had her winning that class too. So, I mean, either way, she was getting
it. So the girl who was the class below got a freebie on that one. Yeah. She was like, oh, sweet, this worked out great.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she's got a good story. You got the short end of the stick on that one.
That was my worst beat for sure.
That one hurts. Yeah, but you didn't really take it that bad. You took it pretty good. I think you really just said it kind of calmly to me, to be honest.
I don't think I would have been that calm.
I was like, who do I gotta talk to? Like, I was like, that's not how it's supposed to be. Like, but yeah, there's nothing you could do. That's crazy. Yeah, that was a crazy one. That happens, guys. It's gonna be one of those things that won't happen probably ever again. But
I hope not.
But her time's gonna come. I just know it. Maybe next year will be the year. But we're saving that. So.
I think it's good to have those. It builds character, right? It makes it more valuable when you win. And
absolutely.
You know, and actually competing so many times, she's going to have that happen, something weird once or twice a year too, you know? So it's just the way it is, you know? That's the
way the cookie crumbles.
Yes, yes. You got to be tough, you know? What do they say? Feathers like a duck and skin like a rhino. So it just flows off.
That.
You like that?
Yeah.
I've never heard that.
One of my old managers from 24 Hour Fitness when I was like 18 used to say that because it was like, you know, fitness business is tough, you know?
It's tough.
You gotta have skin like a rhino and duck like a feather.
That's true.
Water just flows off your, doesn't stick to your feathers, just flows off your feathers and your skin's thick, you know, it's hard to punch through you. So.
Yeah, I think like one of the reasons why it's like kind of maybe a little more frustrating in this sport in comparison to others is because it is an objective sport. It's objective sport, I should say. So like it's not as clear cut as like, let's say a race and, oh, you can see that person won and the digital clock says they won. But, you know, with this sport, it's kind of like, you know, there's some room for opinions and strange things, so who knows, but that's why you just got to have a good mindset about it and just be like, you know what, well, maybe it wasn't my show, move on to the next. But I have a question for you, Sam.
Sure.
So as you're prepping, you know, for your shows or even just being a normal fit person, Do you still have like bad habits that you struggle with from when you were overweight that you kind of catch yourself like, before I think this way, I gotta change my mindset or what have you? Are there any lingering bad habits or is it like swiped clean?
Oh, I wish it were swiped clean. I wish it were that easy. I turn my bad habits into like macro-friendly baking now.
Okay. Oh, yeah. She's a good baker. I try her stuff.
She makes me a cake like once every maybe month or so.
Yeah, but it's like, but it's macro-friendly.
Yes. It's so good. The problem is I eat the whole damn thing because it's so good. Like,
but it's like 1,200 calories instead of like 5,000. So we're still winning.
So good. We got to give you put it on YouTube?
Yeah, it is on YouTube.
Okay, I'll put a link in the description on this one.
She don't forget that. Adam.
Oh, well, I know. I'm so bad. Ashley's always on me, but I'm pretty bad about it. But the last cake you did was the best one that I've had.
The coffee cake.
It was good.
That was actually, originally, it was my grandma's coffee cake recipe that I just modified to make macro-friendly. So, and that's where most of my recipes come from, are either my mom's or grandma's, because my mom can bake. And we grew up doing that. That's like what we did for the holidays was we all baked together. So instead of baking that way, now I just use healthy things as substitutes.
Yeah. And and your mom's like an active part of the team too.
She's team mom.
She moved to Vegas. Like she's badass.
Oh, good. Yeah. Is there any other habits besides like cravings and sweet tooth that you have from before?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I have to like when I'm really tired or when I'm like really PMS-y, I have to mentally focus and be like, you're not hungry. You're not hungry. You're not hungry. But I think that's something that we all deal with all the time. I want to say much better with healthy eating habits and healthy lifestyle habits since I've been out of the restaurant industry. Mm-hmm. This restaurant industry made that really hard with like late nights and getting home at like 4 o'clock in the morning. And then some mornings I was, you know, turn around and back at the prep center at 6 or 7 for in-person sessions. It's hard to break away from those habits, especially when obviously most service industry are not also fitness industry. So it's like alcohol and the food and the fry bowl that sits on the line in the kitchen. It's really hard to walk by and say no to. But I think that it's been a lot easier to focus, especially, if I'm being honest, especially since I moved to Las Vegas and I get to be here every day with you guys. It's super inspiring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And when she first started, we bring coaches in kind of slow. So it's like, we don't just give them a bunch of clients. Like they start slow. We manage it. We make sure everything's working exactly to the right system. You got to help first. You got to help me first with the preps just to make sure you're on the same page. And, like, it's a whole process. But, she was doing that. And then she started off just one-on-one training our athletes and then started in the coaching slowly. And then at that whole time, she was still working that other job. The restaurant for, like, I don't know, what, a year, 2 years?
Almost 3 years.
Yeah. It was crushing. Yeah, that was she was working so much. But I'm glad now that you're here and that's all you're doing. But one of the things that probably people we can use you for, that people will have this, I think when they see Ashley and even, me with my mentality, because the problem with me is that I've been dieting since I was like 13 years old. I've been super conscious of this stuff, which is kind of weird. It's very much an anomaly, at that age to start doing this. But Ashley, too, she's always been, lean and fit besides her one year where she was
2017.
Where she was a Mack truck. Yes. She was a Mack truck wind resistance. It's hard. I think it's hard to, like, for the regular person to kind of relate on how to get to that stage where food is just, like, energy and food is just for performance reasons and aesthetics and whatever.
For sure.
But you are kind of, later in the game started this stuff. So the problem that I run into with people who, one, like I'm trying to get better myself at like having empathy for that and I'm getting better at it. But I think that me and Ashley in that realm are kind of a little hard to relate to. Like, yeah, well, they've always been doing it. So easy for them, right? But for you, it's you're more relatable in that way that, hey, I just, whatever, 8 years ago, whatever, right? I was there too. So how, like, we get our clients, some clients, and they're like, well, I need a cheat meal once a week. I got to reward myself. Like, how do you get out of that mindset? Like, how does that become a thing where you're, how did that transpire? Like, how did that process go where now you're kind of at this place and you're kind of more in that, I eat for my sport, I eat for health, and I eat for fitness, and I don't need, you know.
Yeah, you don't need to eat the garbage.
And it's not like you're punishing yourself, you're just eating right, you know. That's where I think everyone needs to get, is like the mentality of, I'm eating right now. It's not that I was eating right before and this is not right. I'm actually, that was wrong and this is right. And this is what I should be doing, that's what I shouldn't be doing. Mm-hmm. But the problem is people do our preps and they think, I shouldn't be doing this because I'm sacrificing too much. I'm hurting myself because I'm not eating pizza and having drinks with my friends and that kind of thing. You know, and that's the problem. That mentality is so in our culture, especially with like the whole fat activist movement, you know, where it's like, no, just be yourself and eat what you need. And I'm like, you know, how does that happen where you get to that point? Like, how did that happen?
Well, the longer I'm in it, the longer I eat well. And now I'm just like, all I see are macros, and I get made fun of that. I get made fun of for that sometimes. But it was more feeling better physically when it just like clicked in me, and I recognized like, oh, when I eat this, I feel like garbage. Like, it makes me feel sluggish. It makes me feel tired. It makes me feel heavy for days. Makes my skin break out. Like, there's nothing good that comes along with pizza for me. So that's one of those, like, because of all the negatives that it comes with, it's not even something I want anymore. And I'm, you know, I'm a big fan of like, the best diet is the one that you can stick to. So it's finding foods that you can enjoy, or that's what it was for me, like finding things that I can enjoy, but they fit into my meal plan. So if that's like, for me, I mean, I eat a lot of ground chicken and lettuce, and I'm super happy doing that. But it's being a little bit more creative with recipes and understanding that it's, you don't have to just eat like boiled chicken and broccoli all the time. And I think that we're really good about doing that for our athletes. But getting away from the like, oh, I have to have a cheat meal. You don't. There's absolutely no science that supports that. That's just like a mental barrier that you have to get past. And I think so much of it is socially driven because we're a very food focused society for whatever reason. So like the social aspect of like going to family dinners or going out with your friends is that you have to drink alcohol or you have to eat like garbage. And if you draw attention to the fact that you're not, people ridicule you for it, right? So it's like, oh, come on, you can just have one. So for me, instead of drawing attention, be like, oh, I can't have that because I'm in contest prep, or I can't have that because I don't, you know, it doesn't fit into my diet or whatever. It's just, I don't want to, because people have a lot less to say about, oh, no, thanks, I don't want that, you know?
Yeah, makes sense. Yeah, that's a hard place to get, especially, I just think that's a very, like a very social issue that you think you talk about with like the food and stuff. Because if you look back in the 50s, everyone only ate 3 times a day. And there was very, very little junk food that was eaten at that time. And most of America was in shape. It was over 80% of people were healthy, not obese, which is crazy. Because now over 60% of people are obese. So it's like, it's crazy how it's all changed. But now you don't really find anyone who's eating only 3 times a day anymore. Like, that was how it was. You breakfast, you eat your lunch, and your lunch break, and you came home, you had a dinner, and then you basically fasted from 7 o'clock till the next morning, you know? And that was, but it, the food companies are what kind of changed that. The advertising of the snacks, a little, when you get home, have a snack, and they try to increase food consumption, therefore increase profits, and now it's like a staple in our culture of eating, you know. It's crazy because you'll eat your breakfast, and now it's like, oh, I need a snack. Like, every kid needs a snack, everyone needs a snack. Then you have your lunch, then you have your come-home snack, if you're like, I'm talking kids here, come home, then they have a snack, then they have their dinner, and then they have something before bed. And like, we never did that until the last, like, 40 years, you know?
Yeah.
And so now it's like, really, it's like 30 years. And now it's like, you could see people are getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And now, you know, and now everything's becoming more, you know, I mean, fit shaming's a thing, which is crazy, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, when you imagine fit shaming and like when everyone, 80% of the population was fit.
Yeah.
Like, that's not, it'd be crazy, you know? But now it's like, now it's actually a thing. Like, people are making fun of people who are sticking to their diet and staying healthy when you're supposed to do that. You're like supposed to take care of your health. you know? It is crazy. To me, it drives me nuts. Like, I'm super outspoken about it. Some people don't like that. I usually get, like, I don't know, on this episode, I'm just saying this, I'll probably get, like, I don't know, 10 DMs of someone. And it'll be, like, the dumbest ones. It'll be like, oh, some people are just meant to be that way. And I'm like, no, because they weren't that way before. This is a new thing.
We did this to ourselves. Yeah.
So it's glad that you could at least, you know, point that out with the social pressures and all that, too. Because yeah. I think that that's where a lot of people struggle. Especially in our demographic, which is, you know, a lot of our people are, you know, younger 20s all the way to like 35 is like a majority of our people. It's like 70% of our people. I think it's 68% of our people are in that demographic. And I think that there's so much social pressures in that.
Absolutely.
Finding a way around the hanging out with your girls, but still staying on your meal plan and not giving into that stuff is like a big part of it. So,
yeah. And that's, and like to that effect, I mean, I'm not saying like, I don't ever go out and do things with my friends. It's like when I do, you know, I can go out to a restaurant and have like grilled fish and vegetables, and I'm perfectly fine with that. So it's just, I don't know. It's just knowing, I think knowing that, and now most of my friends and family have accepted that this is my life. And they're like, oh, are you doing that diet thing again?
Yeah, it takes
time. It's just what I live by.
It takes time for everyone to get used to it. Even my family, because I was always crazy about it since I was 13, 14 years old. I think it was 13. Yeah, because, and even my family, like after I started being kind of crazy about my food, they just would, after, it took like a year, and then at like dinners and stuff, they would always make me my food. Like they'd have whatever food, and then they would like make chicken breast or something. Like, oh, we got this for you, Adam. Like that would always be like my family. Like they, it was just pretty easy, and it was just always like a thing, you know? We may have our big food, but we're going to get some chicken for Adam. You know, it's like just, this is how it becomes very normal, you know? Mm-hmm. So...
Totally. So whenever you were back in the days where you weren't working out or whatever, did you ever picture yourself like being a fit person, or did you just be like, well, this is the life I'm going to live now. This is it. I'm just going to be.
I definitely got very complacent before I got into this and had like for a really long time just accepted like, man, this is just what I do. Like,
yeah.
But that's what everyone else around me did.
Mm-hmm.
Because getting out of college, and I didn't immediately go into grad school. I took a year off, and I had actually planned on joining the Navy. Mm-hmm. But everything happens for a reason, but I got really sucked into like service industry, and all I did was bartend full time. Mm-hmm. And so I developed those bad habits and got really complacent there. And it really took like a life changing thing for me to be like, this is not normal. This is not what I'm supposed to be doing. And focused instead of like my energy and negative things and the bad habits that I was doing, and start going to like go for a run in the morning or go to the gym. I actually, for the first probably 6 months that I was trying to get better, I was so heavy and embarrassed to go to the gym that I worked out in my garage. Oh. I lost my first 40 pounds with dumbbells that went up to 20 pounds and a pull-up bar.
Wow. Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy. So whenever you did trigger that 180, like, oh, this has got to change, was there a certain event in particular that kind of was like, oh, no, we got to change things? Or was it just like an accumulation of just like, all right, I feel like crap, I got to change my life?
Yeah, there's one thing in particular. I had like gone through a really dark time, and when I had like a rough night when I got real drunk and tried to kill myself and ended up in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like waking up from that. That's kind of what turned everything around.
Yeah. Oh gosh. I can imagine. It's probably like, well, we made it through. Like now we got to really like take care of myself kind of thing. So I can imagine. Jeez. Wow. Well, I'm glad you're still here, and you're so freaking fit now. I still can't believe that you used to be a different person. That's so insane to me, because you really are the most, like, seems to be the most dedicated person I know when it comes to this. And, you know, sometimes Adam, he'll say, like, oh, Ashley, you're the hardest worker. And I'm like, oh, I don't know, Sam, she's harder working than me. So you're very impressive, and just your story, too, is so... It's insane to hear that, like, I don't know, because like I only know you in this form and the way you present yourself and how hardworking you are now. So it's just like, it just messes with my mind knowing that you used to be the opposite. It's crazy.
I mean, everyone has a story of how they got here, right?
And true.
Yeah. We do have some, we're really lucky with how the hard workers that we have here. Yeah, we have some really hard workers.
I had to learn at a really young age.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what the problem with us is, like, if you're not a hard worker here, as part of, the crew, you just don't last. It will weed you out pretty fast. Yeah, it's like, we do work at a pretty, pretty crazy, pace.
I think definitely more than, probably 95% of people.
Yeah. Or there's a nonstop, constantly going, effort that's required to, be a coach here, really, is, it's a lot. But I think everyone who's here who's made it past that marker of a year, everyone has the same traits, or they just love it so much that it's not work, mm-hmm. but they do work so much where it's if they were to stand back, they'd be it actually is a lot.
I haven't taken a day off in 2 years. Yeah. It's weird.
And that's funny because I tried taking a week off. Remember I tried taking a week off? And then she's you didn't even take,
2 days off.
2 days, I was going nuts. I was okay, this sucks. It was my first, if you want to call it, vacation I've ever, had. I went on one boat once, a cruise once. But I was still able to do, emails and stuff. But I wasn't nearly as busy then as I am now. Also doing a lot more, in-person stuff. I was like, man, this is what it would be like if I retired. I'm like, this sucks.
It's so boring.
I worked out twice. I was at a restaurant. I was okay, now what?
What do people do with their time?
I don't know. Because me working out twice already is a very normal thing. On the weekend, I'll work out twice. So that's not normal, and I still have the whole day. But usually I just work out once, and then I still eat out. So without the 8 hours, 9 hours I'm here, it's I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
I was I went to the mall. I was this, what do people do? I don't understand.
Make memes.
They make memes, yeah. I got sucked into Instagram for an hour. I'm not going to golf, I don't know. Maybe that's why everyone's golfing, I guess. I don't know. So,
I'm just bored.
I've decided at that vacation, I'm never going to retire. I'll be now I'm doing a little bit less and you guys are kind of doing more. I'm okay, this is about right for me. This is where I can be in that middle ground, and I'm happy here. I'll be here forever. So, anything else? Any words of advice? As we're kind of wrapping this up, any words of advice for someone kind of going through that long journey when they're looking at that uphill battle? If you were at that 207?
Yeah.
The 207-pound Sam, what kind of advice would she give the... I wouldn't even go as far as the 106-pound Sam, because that's...
The current Sam.
I think that the best thing to remember is that it's super overwhelming if you're looking at the end goal, and I still feel that way when I start a contest prep, because your mind is incapable of living in the future, you can't imagine something you haven't yet achieved. So it's super, super overwhelming to be oh my gosh, I have so much weight to lose. I don't know how to do this. I don't know if I can make it. So instead of focusing on how far you have to go, focus on what you can control presently. What am I doing today that's going to help me reach my goals? So for me, that means I make a list of daily things, and maybe on my list, one of the things is don't eat garbage today, or get outside and go for a walk. And it's just little things that add up over time. It's those, one meal at a time, one workout at a time, and then remembering that nobody is perfect throughout that time. You're going to have a bad day. You're going to mess up. You're going to cheat on your diet. Those things happen. And instead of I think where most people fail is they expect to be perfect, and then when they're not perfect, they give up. So instead of giving up, just be better the next day. That's all you can do.
Yeah. And I think that people don't understand that being fit really is just stringing along many perfect days in a row.
Yeah.
And that's mm-hmm. that's all it is. So it's one perfect day followed by the next perfect day. So you only focus on the day. And if you string together, 6 months, a year of them, mm-hmm. then at the end, you're going to be super shocked at your result. So,
Take progress pictures, a lot of them.
Yeah, so I guess with that, is there any more questions you have, Ashley? Anything?
I think maybe it would be nice if you can tell our listeners out there who want to start a fitness journey, like, you know, maybe how did you become educated enough to, you know, get into shape, assuming that the person isn't necessarily like got a degree in training or whatever, resources that you used or learned from or something that inspired you maybe to learn more about health and fitness?
My first bodybuilding inspiration was Dana Lynn Bailey. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to do everything that she did. But as far as the nutrition goes, because it's like, it's crazy overwhelming how much information there is on the internet. And I did take the time to learn more about like the way different foods affect your body. Like you need protein intake and you need to eat enough of everything, like the kind of the balance in between it. So that, I guess, I mean, I wish there were an easy way, but you need to educate yourself to some extent. And there's, like I said, there's a lot of information out there. There's a lot of, and even more so now because we, like you guys, you have your podcast where you talk about nutrition and you talk about fitness every week. There's a lot of those.
Yeah, I could even put on the, you know, the little circle that pops up at the end, I'll put the how to set up your diet video. That's a good one.
That's a good one, yeah.
Yeah, that one actually gets quite a bit of views for me. A lot of people have like told me, that's how I set up my first diet. I put it out a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. So that one actually gives a good breakdown, I think, too. There's a lot of, I think a lot of resources online these days, but you're right. It's like, they call it analysis paralysis, where you don't know where to go because there's too much information. So I think start with the basics is a good idea, which it sounds like that's where you started.
That's right, yeah. That's where I started. And it was just like, you know, and I talked to some of the trainers at the gym, or I talked to like the bouncers that I worked with that were bodybuilders. They're like, oh, you need to eat this. Turns out most of their advice was garbage, but looking back on it now, I definitely could have gone about it better, but it got me started at least.
Right. Yeah, the biggest guy in the gym doesn't necessarily equate to the smartest guy in the gym. It's
like, it's not always true.
In terms of the nutrition, I mean, it's crazy the stuff I hear, man. I don't even want to. It's like, because you know you're going to be talking to someone who they're already there and they're doing great and they really believe in it. Like, you can't disprove it. It's just like, okay, yeah, you're right. I'll see you later. Good job. So I guess with that, guys, we'll leave it there. But if you have any other questions, feel free to leave them in the comments below. You can find Sam on Instagram, SammyCatlin, right?
Sammy Catlin, yep.
SammiCatlin.
Yep.
Yep, and that's basically it. And Sam is a women's physique competitor, but I think she appears way larger than she actually is because she's sitting higher than us and she's slightly forward.
Oh, I'm actually, yeah.
She's so big. But we're like, I just realized, like, I'm like a foot behind her, and in the photo, you're going to like out-angle us.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
And poor little Ashley over there, and she's going to look like...
I'm just sunken in the seat. I'm a giant human today.
The kitty's so small, but she's out-angling us and out-sitting us in the height.
Which actually is good, actually, to put out there, because I know we went over your stats when you were a normal person and bikini, but what are you at as a women's physique competitor to end it off?
There you go.
Oh, okay. So now in my off season, I'm like 5'5", 5'5", 5'5" and a half. And right now I maintain about between 140 and 145.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What's your stage weight?
Well, last time I competed at nationals, it was 136.
Okay.
So I'm like pretty,
10 pounds heavier than me, mm-hmm, in a way, same height, but that's really cool.
That's a good, you know, what's crazy to talk about that. Like, look at the difference of 10 pounds of muscle, you know?
Yeah.
People think they need to put on 20 pounds of muscle. And I'm like, you're going to be a bodybuilder if you put on 20 pounds of muscle. Forget bikini, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, with that, guys, thank you so much. We'll see you next time.